Okay, so turn to Matthew chapter 11. And today we're looking at the first 11 verses of chapter 11. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not been anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this day and for your presence among us in the many ways that you have already ministered to us. As we come before your word, we pray that you would speak afresh to us. Give us ears to hear you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, there's one thing I want you to catch in the text. Well, maybe two things. Number one, where's John? He's in prison. This is the same guy that last week we heard about in chapter 3. I believe it was last week. In chapter 3, where he was talking to people about repenting, that the kingdom of God is at hand. And so the one who has been announcing that Jesus is the coming Messiah, now he finds himself in prison. And he's locked up, and he's heard about what Jesus is doing, but he's still in prison. And so a couple of his disciples who are attending to him in prison, he sends them to Jesus to find out, "Jesus, are you the one to come? Are you who I thought you were? Or should I be looking for somebody else?" And the crux of the matter is that Jesus wasn't doing what John thought Jesus was supposed to do. That John had anticipated that when he announced that Jesus was the coming one, when he was announcing the Messiah, that the Messiah was going to come and the Messiah was going to fix everything right away. And that those who were wicked would pay for their sins immediately, that there would be judgment, and the righteous would automatically be saved. And so you had to get ready for the coming of the Messiah because the judgment was going to be decisive, it was going to be swift, and all of the enemies of God's people were going to be taken care of. And so what John is struggling with is that he's in prison and the Messiah was supposed to set the captives free. And I don't know if you can relate to John at all or not, to where you have these expectations, we have these expectations that Jesus is going to make everything right. And he's going to make it right swiftly. And then when he doesn't make things right swiftly, we begin to wonder, "Jesus, are you really who I thought you were? Are you really the one, or should I be looking for somebody else?" The response, Jesus tells the disciples to go tell John what you see. And it's things like the deaf hearing, the lame walking, those who aren't able to speak are now able to speak. But Jesus doesn't say a word about prisoners being set free. It's like that word is missing. We read in our psalm this morning, we prayed in our psalm, Psalm 146, there was a word in there about prisoners being set free. There was also words in there about God doing everything you would expect God to do in terms of watching over widows and sick being healed, etc. Prisoners being set free, that was part of the package. And so go tell John what you see. And it's all the stuff that Isaiah talks about. It's all the stuff that we prayed about in Psalm 146. But there's no word about prisoners being set free. Instead, he has one other word, that the dead are being raised. And maybe John doesn't know it yet, but we discover in a few chapters later that John is killed. That he doesn't get out of prison. That he is executed. And we have this word, blessed is the one who does not stumble on account of me. When we think of stumbling and following Jesus, we don't normally think that Jesus is the one that makes us fall. We normally think that maybe it's Satan that causes us to trip up and stumble. We might think that it's because of some temptation to go back to an old habit or an old way of life that makes us fall. We just can't get over that temptation. So it's really interesting that Jesus says, blessed is the one who does not stumble on account of me, who does not fall away on account of me. And John was about to stumble, was about to fall away, because Jesus wasn't working like John thought he should. And Jesus sends the word back, look at these things that are happening. You should be able to tell from these things that I really am the one who gives life. That I really am the one that you were preparing the way for. So just because I'm not doing it exactly like you think I should, don't fall away. Don't fall away. The dead in Christ will be raised. There was no word in there about prisoners being executed. It was prisoners being set free. But Jesus is doing something that is bigger than what John can see, doing things in ways that John can't comprehend. And so there's going to be death, but there's going to be resurrection. Jesus going to the cross. Resurrection. Jesus calling disciples to take up their cross. There will be hardship. There will be difficult times. But there will be resurrection. Today we light the candle of joy. The pink candle symbolizes joy. Many of us know that joy. Some of us don't know that joy. Many of us know that joy in parts of our lives. But there are other parts of our lives where we don't understand why there's no joy yet. Where there are things that God hasn't acted like we thought God would. I think that sometimes we feel like if we do the first two Sundays of Advent, then Sunday number three ought to be automatic. The first Sunday we talked about putting away the deeds of darkness. So what are the bad habits that I need to drop? Second Sunday, we talked about getting ready to welcome the King. And if I'm going to welcome the King, then who do I need to receive? Who else do I need to welcome so that I'm ready to welcome the King? And so sometimes we go through and we drop our bad habits and we welcome the person that we really struggle with welcoming. And so we think, okay, I've done that and I've done that and now I should be released from prison. Now, Jesus, because I've done this and because I've done this, now, Jesus, it's time for the prisoner to be set free. And he doesn't set us free like we think he should. Blessed is the one who does not stumble on account of me. We light the pink candle today. It is a candle of joy. And ironically, we light the pink candle on the day that John stays in prison. But the dead in Christ are raised. And so we light this candle of joy, but you may still have suffering to do. We all still have suffering to do. It may be health issues, it may be job issues, it may be family issues. I don't know what the issues might be. But we light the candle of joy today, and yet there is still suffering to be done. Suffering in Haiti to be done. suffering for Haiti to be done, suffering for our neighborhood. We have joy because the dead in Christ are raised. And so while there may be suffering, while there may be imprisonment, while we may not understand the timing of Jesus coming, the timing of Jesus setting free, the timing of Jesus raising, we light the candle with the hope and the assurance that Jesus is the one that we've been looking for. And we're not going to trip over him. We're going to keep following. And one of the ways that we keep following, one of the ways that we remind ourselves of this is through communion. He gave himself that we might live, that we might have hope. And we take communion. We proclaim his death. We take communion proclaiming his death until the day he comes, anticipating resurrection.
Praise God for the hallowed manger ground.